If you believe, if you believe. Remember, a number of times given in the scriptures, not only in the gospels, but in other places, if you believe, things can, life will be different if you believe. We can take that statement and say, if you believe what? Well, we have to look at what we believe. We have to have an understanding of what we believe. Jonathan Whitfield many years ago said to, he was preaching to some coal miners, and he was trying to determine where their faith was or what they believe. And he said to this coal miner, what do you believe? He said, well, I believe what my church believes. And he said, well, what does your church believe? Well, they believe whatever I believe. He wasn't getting too far, so he said, well, what do yous both believe? He said, well, I guess we believe the same thing. He was having a difficult time to decide just what it was that he believes. As we use this title this morning of If You Believe, we could also use another title. Actually, when I was praying about this and really looking at it, I was thinking, once I decided what I wanted to share this morning, I thought we could name this something else altogether. We could name it The Power of Choice, because if you believe indicates to us that there is a choice to be made. And so I want us to think about that for a few minutes, about the power of choice. I want to show you a clip, and I want us to listen carefully about the power of choice, because everybody has to make it in life. And as we look to the power of choice, I believe it can help us to make the right choice. So let's just watch this clip for a few minutes. Well, just watching that little clip makes me think of, well, it challenges me. And the first place it challenges me is where it says that if we do not address our choices, we become drifters. And we become people who are, our choices come from the influence of the world rather than from the influence of, on the inside. And I think when it comes to making choices, it's very crucial that we make the right choice, because there's sometimes that we can decide what choice we make, but one of the things that we often cannot decide is what is the consequences of the choices that we make. In other words, sometimes we make choices that are not the best for us, and the consequences that come are not really what we desire. We would rather not have them. But we do have the ability, the power within us to make choices in consideration to the consequences that come from those choices. And we all have choices. We make choices every day. Our lives are set before us by the choices that we make. So I want to suggest to you some very crucial, one very crucial choice that is before us this morning and every day as we live, when it comes to our own spiritual lives, what slot we put God into. I love this passage of scripture in Psalms 119:30. It says, I have chosen the way of truth. Your judgments I have laid before me. That's a choice that the psalmist made. I have chosen the way of truth. In other words, I've decided to go with truth rather than anything that would make me feel good. In other words, truth is more important to me than the way I feel. When we take that attitude on, then each one of us can go to the one who is the master of all truth. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. So if we have decided to go the way of truth, we've decided to go with Jesus. We've made a choice. If we don't make a choice, as what was said in the clip here, then we are drifters. We sang a song this morning. I think it was the first time we sang it, God is on the move. I think that's the first time we sang that here. It brought me back to when the time the children of Israel were in the desert and they were in the wilderness. And every once in a while, God would move. And if you know the story of the Exodus, when the children of Israel were brought out of the land of Egypt, God led them in the desert, and he would lead them by a cloud in the day and a pillar of fire by night. And every once in a while, they'd set up a camp, and then God would move. Whenever they see the cloud move, the children of Israel would pack up their tent and their camp and so forth and move to wherever God was going. And one of the worst choices that any of us can ever make is that when God moves, we stay put. When God is on the move, you and I just stay put. We just continue to do life as we normally do. But oftentimes, God is moving in our lives and he's challenging us to move with him. He wants us to go deeper into relationship with him. Because when it comes to knowing God, it's all about relationship with him. And I've noticed something about walking with God is that there is a constant change that goes on. If we make right choices, there'll be right changing take place in our lives. I remember, probably you do too, that over the years you might know someone and 20 years ago you maybe chummed with them a little bit. You kind of got around with them, they're a bit of a friend, and over the next 20 years you never seen them, and you've had a lot of experience through those 20 years. There's a lot of things that have happened to you, a lot of changes that take place in your life, and then you run into that individual again. And suddenly you talk to them for a while and you go away and you say, that person is exactly the same way they were 20 years ago. They haven't changed a bit. And really, that's a sad connotation of our journey in life, because there should be a constant change taking place in our lives. You know, the Bible talks about a condition of the human race that the Bible wants to see changed. You see, every one of us are called to be conformed into something different than what we are when we first come to God. The Bible says that we are to be conformed into the image of Jesus. Therefore, we take a look at Jesus' life and we begin a prayer that says, Lord, help us to be like Jesus. Help us to be like him. Help us to be turned to him. Help us to be changed from the inside out so that we might know him better. And as we do, we change. As we make choices, we change. As we go toward God, make choices to move toward God, there's things that happen on the inside of us that causes us to change. But it's all our choice. So the Bible says, if you believe, actually in Mark 9:23, Jesus said, if you believe, all things are possible to him who believes. If you believe, all things are possible. And again, that word, if, is a choice. If you believe. We can choose not to believe. Do you ever notice that? You can choose not to believe. You can make a choice not to believe that something is good for you, even though, you know, all indications are that it might be. Just reminded of a thing that Michael told me one time. I believe it was probably your grandfather. And they were putting a bathroom in the house many years ago. And this was around the time when lots of houses had no bathrooms in the house. It was the outhouse. And your grandfather was telling you, I'll never use that bathroom. I'll never go. I don't see any need of a bathroom being in the house. Well, how many of us would agree with that today? I don't think so. In the wintertime, it's especially precious. But even for an old guy that was used to going outside all the time, he said, no, I'll never use that. Well, he continued to go to the barn for a long time. But one night it was really cold. It looked pretty cold outside. And suddenly that bathroom looked a lot more comfortable than getting all dressed to go outside in the cold. Well, we have a choice. He chose that he would never use that. He wasn't going to use it because he seen it as a silly thing. But later on, circumstances changed and he took a choice that I'm sure improved his life considerably. Amen. You and I all make choices throughout life. And the key is to make the right choices. In John chapter 11, we read the story about Lazarus being raised from the dead. If you've read that, you understand that Lazarus was a friend of Jesus, and he was sick and he died. But Jesus went to where he was laid. He went to the tomb where he was laid, and Jesus, through a sequence, actually brought him back to life. But when Lazarus' sisters came to Jesus initially, they came to him because Jesus had stayed away for a while. And when Jesus finally came on the scene, Lazarus had been dead for 4 days. And the sisters of Lazarus came to Jesus and said, Jesus, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. That was going through their head. And I'm sure that most of the people that were there, it was actually going through their head. Jesus, you healed the eyes of blind people. You did all kinds of things. Actually, you raised another child up. Surely, you could have been here. You could have did something. And Jesus was trying to get them into a place of belief. He told Martha, he looked at Martha at one time when he told her to roll away the stone from where Lazarus was laid. He said, Martha, didn't I tell you if you believe, you would see the glory of God? Now, that's an important phrase for every one of us to meditate on. If you believe, you will see the glory of God. You will have an understanding of things that you don't understand now if you make a choice to believe. You can believe, if you want to, that Lazarus could never be raised. Actually, Jesus said to her, Lazarus will rise again. And she said, yes, I know he will, Master. He will rise at the resurrection at the last day. But Jesus wasn't talking about the resurrection of the last day. He was talking about the resurrection that was going to take place that day. And he said to Martha, he said, if you believe, you will see the glory of God. Now, if you were to do a study in the Bible, you studied out that word glory, you would see that it has an interesting meaning. It's doxa, meaning opinion, judgment, view, or estimate. So Jesus was saying, if you believe, you will see the opinion of God, the judgment of God, the estimate or the way God sees things. You will begin to see the way God sees things if you choose to believe. If you choose, you will see the glory of God. Now, I don't know about you, but I believe that God sees things differently than what we see. I believe God sees things totally different than what the world sees. If we believe, we can begin to understand the way God does things. We can begin to understand the way God loves each and every one of us. He cares about each and every one of us. We begin to understand that Jesus was sent to earth to die on the cross, that all mankind might have their sins washed away. If you believe, you can begin to see the way God does things. And God is a supernatural God, and he does things in pretty awesome ways. I mean, he raised a man from the dead, Lazarus, John 11. He raised him from the dead who had been dead for 4 days, and yet Jesus went and simply called out his name, and Lazarus was raised up from the grave. They seen the glory of God, the power of the glory of God right in front of them. Actually, Jesus was demonstrating to each and every one of them that were there that the world has a way of doing things, but God's way of doing things is a lot more powerful. God's way of doing things is awful contradictory to the way the world does things. The world could never imagine somebody being dead for 4 days and coming back to life again. But yet, Jesus was demonstrating the way God does things. God demonstrated his glory when he raised Jesus from the dead. Glory also means to honor. It means to bring honor to somebody else. Or when God displays his glory, he shows us things that deserve our honor. In other words, he shows us things that we should fall on our faces sometimes and just plain honor God because of his greatness, because of his goodness. If you believe, you will see the glory of God. Jesus had to tell that to Martha over and over again. If you believe, you will see the glory of God. You see, she had a choice. She had a choice. There are some things, I suppose, that will happen whether you believe them or not, I guess. I don't know. But I remember reading this story about these two scientists. And one scientist went into, they were great, renowned scientists. And one scientist went into this other scientist's office. And on his office wall, he had a horseshoe hanging upside down. And you know the thoughts behind that. It's to catch luck. And you have it upside down so luck will fall in there and won't get out. And the other scientist said to his friend, he says, you don't mean to tell me that with all the science that you understand and that you know, you believe in that kind of stuff that's hanging on the wall, a horseshoe hanging on the wall to give me luck? You're not telling me you believe that. You're going to have to give up your scientific credentials if you believe that. And he said, well, he said, no, I don't believe that at all. He said, I don't believe that. But those who do tell me it'll work whether you believe it or not. That's an interesting thought. I can't help but suspect that scientist must have had some kind of thought. He wasn't going to take any chances. Those who don't believe, he says, it'll help it happen for them. It'll work anyway. Well, Jesus said, if you believe, you will begin to understand the things of God. you will begin to be able to relate to how big God is, how kind He is, and how much love He has for us. If you believe. If you believe. What's the other side of that? If you don't believe, you won't understand who God is. If you don't believe, you won't understand how He thinks about things. If you don't believe, you won't understand God's opinions on things. If you don't believe, you won't understand that God loves you, cares about you, and has died for you. You see, if you don't believe, you begin to go around with your head down at night when you lay your head down at night, when you have done something wrong, when you have missed it, and you know you have, every one of us have missed it. Every one of us has done things that we're embarrassed about. Every one of us have done things that we shouldn't have done, and we know we shouldn't have done them. If we don't believe, we have to live with that stuff hanging on to us all the time. If we don't believe, we lay down our head at night, and these memories will start coming back to us about what we did and about a situation that we caused, and we might have harmed somebody, you might have ridiculed somebody when we shouldn't have, or we could have done something a lot worse than that. But when we walk into the place of belief, we begin to believe and begin to understand the way God sees things, we begin to understand that God says, "Come unto me, all you who are burdened and heavy laden. Take my yoke upon you, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light." In other words, He's saying, come to me, you who are burdened down with sin, you who are burdened down and where you have missed it, come to me and I will release you from that burden. I will present to you a way out. I will release to you redemption so that you won't have to pay the price for your sin because my Son Jesus has already paid the price. Glory to God. I mean, that's revealing the way God thinks about things. That's revealing the way God sees us. You see, God is not up there with a whip waiting for us to miss it. He's up there with His arms wide open saying, come to me. Like the prodigal son in the Gospels. The prodigal son speaks about him coming back when he ridiculed his father. He disobeyed his father. He just trashed everything that his father gave him. Yet when he turned back and repented and came to his father was there with open arms and said, come to me. Take a good high seat in my family once again. And I believe that's what God is saying to you and I. He wants us to come to Him. But we have a choice. If we believe. If we believe, we will see the glory of God. If we don't, we're going to have to go with the world's way and not our way at all. We're going to have to be a people that are going to decide to believe or make a choice to believe. Now, as we look to the way we are to believe or the things that we are to believe, it's important that we take notice of some of the truths that have been given to us in the Word of God. God's Word, the Bible says, is truth. In John chapter 6, verse 28, Jesus was speaking to a group of people, and He had just performed a lot of miracles, and He had their attention. He had their attention, and they said to Him, "What shall we do that we may work the works of God?" Jesus answered and said to them, "This is the work of God, that you believe in Him whom He has sent." In other words, God is saying, this is the work that you have to do now, is believe in Jesus whom He has sent. Now, this work is not something that we can be complacent about. It's a very real work or real choice that we must make, that we believe that the Father sent the Son into the world. This is a work. Salvation, you know, it says that we don't work our way into the kingdom of God. We believe our way into the kingdom of God. But belief is a choice. And all the world will come against your belief. All the pleasures that you might have known in the past that you want to continue doing may come against your belief. If you take a choice to believe, there is a real challenge that comes against you. And that challenge really rests in what you hold closest to your heart. And when we look at who God is, we have to make a choice. Will we choose to believe His word, or will we choose that going our way, we know better? I remember years ago when I asked Jesus Christ to come into my life and I became a Christian, somehow, I don't know how I got about it, but I was involved in some things that I shouldn't be in. And I was lost and I was on my way to hell, basically. And I was doing some things that I shouldn't have been doing. And I wasn't one of these guys who were really saying that. And you ever hear this? They just got so fed up in life that they partied, they did all the partying, they went, none of it meant anymore. It couldn't make them happy anymore. So they came to Jesus. Well, that wasn't me. I was having a good time. And I enjoyed what I was doing. But there was a truth that came that kind of came against my enjoyment. And I had to make a decision of what was most important to me. And I decided that I didn't want to die and go to hell. That was my first revelation. I didn't want to die and go to hell. And I pray that each one of us will get that sense of revelation that hell is a place you don't want to go to. Jesus is offering us heaven, and we have that choice. But when I came into the kingdom of God, what kept me away as long as it did was that I seen there were some things that I was going to have to give up. And so it was a fight to believe. I had to make a choice, and then I had to stand on that choice in order to believe. When I made the choice to believe, suddenly things began to change. My desires actually began to change, where before I wanted to do wrong, but now I didn't want to do that any wrong more. And even when I did it, I would get so convicted of doing the wrong thing that I would ask God to help me do the right thing. As I chose to believe, God began to move upon me so that I would enjoy doing the right thing. So I still do those wrong things as much as I want to. I just don't want to do them anymore. You see, that's a whole different ballgame when God comes into your life, the power of God comes into your life and begins to change you so that you enjoy the things that God enjoys. You begin to see things the way God sees them. You begin to hold the things precious, that what God holds precious. Before I was saved, somebody asked me, what do you think about abortion? Well, I didn't know enough about it even to have a decision, and didn't even bother knowing very much about it at all, and I didn't even give an opinion on it. But when I began to see things the way God sees them, it opened my eyes completely, that God, the author of life, considers life precious. Precious, doesn't matter whether it's in the womb or outside of the womb. That we know that when we have God's opinions on things, then we begin to see things differently. And we begin to stand up for the things that God wants us to stand up for. So this is the work of God that you may believe. The Apostle Paul, writing to the church of Thessalonica, said this in 1 Thessalonians 1:3. We recall in the presence of our God and Father your work of faith. Your work of faith, your labor of love, and endurance of hope in our Lord Jesus Christ. The Apostle Paul also, writing to his spiritual son, Timothy, he wrote this in 1 Timothy 6:12. Fight the good fight of faith. Fight the good fight of believing. Choose to believe. Fight the good fight of faith. Faith must be taken seriously. That doesn't sound, when you say something like fight the good fight of faith, it doesn't sound like sitting down, and being complacent about it. It doesn't sound like we're not active. Fight the good fight of faith means that we are active in something. We are involved in doing something. We are involved in believing. Now, what does the Bible say about faith? In Romans chapter 10, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So you say, well, Pastor, what do I do? What if I make a choice to believe? What's the first thing I do? Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. You start to read the word of God. You start to read the scriptures. Because if you make the choice to believe, now you're into a battle. You're into a place of struggle, if you will, to maintain the things that God is showing you. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So if you want to grow in faith, if you want to grow in your belief, then you begin reading the word of God. You begin taking the word of God as truth. You begin taking the Bible as truth. All you need to do is, each one of us sometimes has to do a study on the credibility of the Bible. It is amazing. There's been more copies of the Bible written by far than any other book in history. And the authenticity of the Bible is indisputed in many, many places. It's just amazing the truth that comes from the Word of God. Actually, when I came into the kingdom of God, one of the first things I do was began studying what is the Bible, because I didn't know what the Bible was. I began studying that, and I began studying some of the prophetic direction and words that were given in the Bible that were predicted, and they didn't come to pass for 300 years later. And I came to the conclusion it was only God that could have influenced the writings of this book, because he knew what would happen 300 years down the road. And I decided, actually, that it would take more faith to believe that God, the Bible wasn't God's word, than to believe it was, because it was so clear. The Word of God is powerful and true and sharper than any two-edged sword and can help us in many, many ways. So we are to fight the good fight of faith. Now, this is the choice that I want to present to you this morning. If you believe, you will see the glory of God. If, indicating a choice. Deuteronomy chapter 30, verse 19. God is telling this to the children of Israel. He said, I call heaven and earth as witness today against you, that I have set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Therefore, choose life, that both you and your descendants might live. I love this verse because it says, I don't know, it reminds me of, you know, you see those books all the time, Computers for Dummies, or Something for Dummies. You know, everybody's always writing Something for Dummies. Well, to me, this is Belief for Dummies, because it says, I set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Then he says, he gives you a hint, choose life. That's the best. Amen. It's so clear. God is telling us, I set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Choose life, that both you and your descendants might live. So he gives us the, if it's a trick question, he gives us the answer to it. He says, choose life. It's a choice. Joshua 24, 15. And if it seems evil to you, Joshua speaking to the children of Israel, and if it seems evil to you to serve the Lord, choose for yourselves this day whom you will serve, whether the gods which your fathers served that were on the other side of the river, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you dwelt. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. In other words, he's saying, we're making a choice. You're going to have to make your own choice. But as for me and my house, we are going to serve the Lord. Now, fathers, you can make a choice when it comes to your household and how you govern your household. You might say, well, I can't choose what my kids will believe. Well, when it comes right down to it, no, not in the very end of it, but you can set an example in life so that they will be guided into making the right choices in life, especially when it comes to walking with the Lord Jesus Christ. You have a responsibility. You have a tremendous authority over your children to be able to influence them into choosing life. And Joshua here said, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. We will make the choice to serve the Lord. If you believe, you will see the glory of God. If you will believe, you will begin to understand God's opinion about things. If you believe, you'll begin to understand God's judgment about things. If you believe, you will be able to understand the way God sees humanity in life. Be able to understand the reasons why he wants you to do the things that will benefit you in life. Do you want to live a life according to the way of the world, according to the way that things are presented in the world? You see, the thing is about the world is with each generation, there's a culture shift to some degree. And if you go through a number of generations, there's a major culture shift. In our generation, there's been a tremendous, tremendous culture shift. And the one coming behind me, there's a culture shift in that as well. And when you think of that, we might say, well, you know, culture is changing. Things are different. Well, yes, some of our practices may be different. Some of the things that really didn't have any any effect on the past of our idea of morality, maybe we can walk into them. They've changed. And for instance, some of our style of dress and so forth, those things can be changed within reason. But there are some things when it comes to morals that change from culture to culture. The world is presenting some things that are shifting culture when it comes to morality. Now think about this. Surely the God who made the universe, surely the God who made mankind, surely the God who gathered up a bunch of dust in the earth and breathed his life into a body and called him man, surely that God knows what's best for you and I. Surely that God made the perfect blueprint for you and I to live by. And it doesn't change from one generation to the next. It is set in stone the way God has called us to live, the way God has called us to handle our lives. And everything that God has told us to do, every way he's told us to live out our life is to do is for our benefit. It's for our good so that we will be filled with joy. I started to say this a while ago and didn't really get to it. But when I came into the life of God, into the kingdom of God, somehow I came to the place where I figured that God knew better than I did of what will actually bring joy into my life. God knew better. I just somehow arrived at that God, since he made me, he would know better what would give me the most joy and happiness and fulfillment in life. So I decided, even though it meant giving up some of the things that I was involved in, that he knew better, and I decided that I would go with him. And I haven't been disappointed. Not one bit. I haven't been disappointed one bit, because he has shown me a life that I could never even ever imagine. He has brought some things into my life that I am willing to die for. All I thought about before was living for everything. But now there's some things that I'm actually living, I'm willing to die for. Things that have come into my life, some principles that have come into my life that I am willing to die for today. 1 Thessalonians 4:14 says, "For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so God will bring him those who sleep in Jesus. We will see those who have gone before us again, if we believe. Those who have already gone to heaven, we will see them once again. If you believe, you will see the glory of God. You will begin to see his way of doing things, his way of estimating value upon one another." Well, there's a choice to be made. People who don't exercise making hard choices are drifters. Drifters allow the world to write their story on your life. Drifters who don't make choices allow the world to make up the story or to write the story of your life. I don't know about you, but I don't want the world writing the story for me. If you believe, you will see the glory of God. I set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Choose life. Romans 6:23 says, "The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ." Choose life. Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life." To choose life is to choose Jesus. To choose life is to choose Jesus. Do you ever think there's too many choices in the world? I've heard tell of some people who have lived in other countries where they used to go to a grocery store and the whole shelves would be all empty. There might be two or little three items, and they got whatever was there. And when they came over here into our lifestyle of living and went into the supermarkets, they started crying because they couldn't believe the choices and they couldn't make the choices. They just couldn't make the choice because there was just too many. They were confused. Well, if I get this, maybe I can't get this. And, you know, I don't know which is better. So many choices. But God only gives us two choices. I set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Choose life. It's not hard. It's not difficult. Although it is the most important choice you will ever make in your life, it's not a difficult choice. It's by far the grandest choice to accept Jesus into our lives in order to walk with him. If you believe, you will see the glory of God. You will begin to see the way God sees. You'll begin to love the way God loves. You'll begin to have Christ come and illuminate your mind in order to see the awesome beauty that God has created. In the media today, we see everything. It seems like everything negative. But when God comes in, He'll show you everything positive. He'll show you some awesome, awesome things in your life. He'll wake you up in the middle of the night and just give you such a thankful heart for what you have in your life right here, right now. He'll cause you to realize that you are so blessed. And you will be overjoyed because of the blessing of God coming into your life. An easy, easy choice, very important choice. Stand with me, please. Just as we consider that this morning, you might say, well, Pastor, I've already made that choice. I've already decided to follow Jesus. Yes, but have you made the choice to see the glory of God, the fullness of His presence? Have you made the choice to build your faith and to move on in the journey? Have you made the choice to take the Word of God, to build your faith up so that it'll come extremely strong? Faith comes by hearing and hearing by the Word of God. Have you made that choice today? Because that is a choice. He said, I set before you life and death. You see, God sets something before us that is not a one-time thing. It is an ongoing decision when it comes to following God. You see, when God made Adam, He breathed into him the breath of life. And Adam was meant to have a continual flow of the breath of God blowing through his life. He was to have a continual relationship with God. But we know that the Bible tells us that Adam sinned and that relationship was cut off. And it wasn't until Jesus was raised from the dead and came back into the room of his disciples. And one of the first things he did, he said, peace I leave you. And then the Bible says he breathed on them and said, receive the Holy Spirit. And when he breathed on them, after he was raised from the dead, after he paid the price for the sin of mankind, he breathed on his disciples and said, receive the Holy Spirit. Then man began to be in communion then with the Father again, a continual flow of the Holy Spirit. And there was life. That's available to each and every one of us today. I want to pray a prayer with each and every one of us. I want you to, you know, maybe you've never made a commitment for Jesus before. This could be the very first time you decided that I'm going to make a choice to follow Jesus. I desire to see things the way they really are. I desire to see the reality of God in my midst. That's a choice that is set before you this morning. And if that's you, then you pray this from the bottom of your heart. If you've already prayed it this morning, but if you've already prayed that prayer, you're already a Christian, but you know that you could do better. You know that there's some shifts and changes that could take place in your life in order to be able to see things the way God does even better. Then you pray this as well and make it a statement of faith that you're going to make a choice to go deeper with God. So let's all pray this together. Heavenly Father, we come to you in Jesus' name. And we recognize today that we have a choice to make. We decide to choose life, the life of Jesus. We ask now that the life of Jesus come on the inside and change me. We ask you, Lord, to change us so that our sins would be washed away by the sacrifice of Jesus. Come into my life now and change me, I pray, in Jesus' name. Dear God, help me to go deeper into the things of God that I might know you better. In Jesus' name, amen.